So we'll talk about the next couple of weeks is the concept of the difference monument in the halachic day. But today we're going to start with specifically with the most controversial one, which is when exactly night falls. Now this is a very, very big problem to reason, because many things begin and end with when day and night begins and ends. Not just Mincha and Maariv, but also Shabbos, Yom Tov. Everything basically hinges around when day and night begin. Now, to begin with a little bit of a philosophical perspective, it seems from the Torah that day and night don't have to do, necessarily, with the sun and the moon. How so? Should be obvious. How so? How do we see in the Torah that day and night don't have to do with the sun and the moon?
Starts with saying first day before there's the sun and the moon.
When the sun and the moon created?
In the third
day. Day four. Wednesday. So for the first 3 days of creation, whatever that means, there is Erev and Boker, there's Choshech and Or, there's darkness and light, there's Erev and Boker, evening and morning, before there's a sun and a moon. That's a critical point, obviously. Which is because if somebody came theoretically, were someone to have existed during the first 3 days of creation, when would they daven, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv? How would they determine all these things in the absence of the sun, in the absence of a moon? So of course it's only theoretical, because nobody was created until Friday, until after the Maoros were created. But nevertheless, hypothetically, it could have been possible that a creature would have existed who would have had the question of when to daven before a sun and a moon were created. So this is going to be a critical point, because there are two ways to talk about Zman. One way of understanding Zman is to say that they have to do with the sun and the moon and their positions in the sky. And the other is to say that they have to do with the measure of light and the measure of darkness. In other words, how light or how dark one perceives the sky to be at any given time. Okay, those are two possible potential different ways of looking at it. So let's start here with the Gemara talks about Ben Hashmoshas and Ramadal on Beis in Shabbos. And it's four lines to the top. Tanabana. Four lines to the top, there's little two dots. Tanabana Ben Hashmoshas, twilight. Ben Hashmoshas means literally between the sun. But it means between the sun, between the end of the day and the beginning of the night. How long is there between the beginning of the day, the end of the night is something which we're going to address in the sugya. But first the Gemara says that Ben Hashmoshes itself is a questionable period. Sopik min hayom u'min halayla. It's a question whether Ben Hashmoshes is from the day or from the night. Sopik kula min hayom, sopik kula min halayla. And a question whether it's entirely part of the day or entirely part of the night. Meaning that sopik Ben Hashmoshes, we don't know. This period of twilight is considered daytime, it's considered nighttime, it's considered part one and part the other. Meaning, say Ben Hashmoshes, for argument's sake, for a moment, was a half an hour long, right? So maybe the first 15 minutes of Ben Hashmoshes are daytime, and the last 15 minutes of Ben Hashmoshes are nighttime, right? Maybe the entire 30 minutes is considered to be part of daytime. Maybe the entire 30 minutes is considered to be part and parcel of nighttime. There is another alternative which Gemara doesn't say explicitly, but the Achrayim like to use as a convenient way of describing the halacha Ben Hashmoshes, which is that Ben Hashmoshes has a din of suffix, meaning that it is inherently a questionable time. Meaning that there is no such thing, it may well be that there is no such moment. Even if Ben Hashmoshes is a half an hour long, there's no moment at which Ben Hashmoshes changes from day to night. But rather, Ben Hashmoshes is, as the English name occurs, seems to indicate, twilight. The Hebrew word Ben Hashmoshes also means something in between. It is a time of day which is an in-between time. It is not a topic which theoretically Elio HaNavi could come down to and resolve, but rather it is inherently a time which is neither daytime nor nighttime, and therefore may have elements of both or neither. Okay, so again, the Achronim call that a din sopik, that its halacha is that it was given as a time which is sopik, neither day nor night, or neither both together, as aspects of everything. But the way the Gemara seems to be learning here at this point, sopik here means maybe divided in half, or in thirds, however the case may be. Maybe the first half is daytime, the first third is daytime, etc., etc. Okay, so therefore, material soul chomish deyomim, as a result of this inconclusiveness. So we say that it gets the severity of both days, meaning you have to consider potentially part of the last day and potentially part of the next day. For example, on Saturday night, we have to assume that Bein HaShemosh is part and parcel of Shabbos. That's the Chumrah at the end of Shabbos. On Friday night, we have to assume the day, meaning it's part of the day before. On Friday night, we have to assume that Bein HaShemosh is part and parcel of the next day, meaning of Shabbos. And therefore, that's the Chumrah that we have to include Bein HaShemosh in both categories. That's why no halachic day is ever perfectly 24 hours. Because although theoretically it should, Bein HaShemosh renders it impossible to have a precise 24-hour halachic day. Okay? So of course, if somebody asks you as a halachic, how long is a day in halacha, you would say it depends. Right? And there's no specific answer. Depends whose sheets are you hold by, whose approach it is. Doesn't have many approaches to what the length of Bein HaShemosh is.
Can I ask
a question?
Yes. Say hypothetically, if Shkia Friday is like 5 o'clock and somebody does work at 5:09, could there be a chance that he didn't break Shabbos?
Absolutely.
But you don't know. You have to assume in like Beis Din, if he does that, you'll still kill him because he broke Shabbos.
No, they wouldn't kill him.
Right.
He could always come and say, I hold like the chance which will seem like Mar, that knows 9 minutes and still within the parameters of daytime. You absolutely could not kill somebody at that point. That now, there is a major ramification of that, even in our day and age. Right? Forget about killing people. Unfortunately, we can't kill people nowadays, and we can't sacrifices. So the gory, violent parts of this halacha are not really relevant. But there is one gory and violent thing which is relevant to this halacha, which is Brit Milah. In other words, if a kid is born on Shabbos, then his Brit Milah occurs on Shabbos. If a kid is born on Friday, obviously, if a kid is born on Motzei Shabbos, so his Brit Milah occurs on a different day, on either the next Friday or the following Motzei Shabbos. What happens if a kid is born Bein HaShemoshos? Right, 5:09 on Friday evening. So then, you can't malam on Shabbos, because maybe it's a weekday. You can't malam on Friday, because maybe it's not eight days yet, right? So therefore, when he gives Brit Milah, kid loses out, he gets his Brit Milah on Sunday, right? This is a particular bummer according to the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef holds that anybody who doesn't get their Brit Milah on the eighth day has to come back as a Gilgul in order to get in the next cycle his Brit Milah on the eighth day. So this poor kid, because he was born a few minutes too late, actually has to come back as a Gilgul and suffer the consequences.
But
that's a real it was one of the great tragedies in Judaism. Yes.
But in essence, that's ordained that should happen then.
Okay, maybe so. Maybe the doctors induced it. Who knows what happened exactly?
Why don't we make him the Brit Milah at 5:09 next Friday?
You can't, because we don't know what the moment of Yevshar something. You can't know precisely when he was born and precisely when the Brit Milah is going to be made, right? And we don't know, therefore, if we're going to exactly hook into the right moment. It's impossible to do. To exactly hook into the right moment. Even when he's born, it takes a while for the kid to be born.
So it's a certain measurement, no? Isn't it the Gemara, what point the head is out, or...
Yes, the Rosh of Aruba, but then again, who's watching? So when somebody's starting with the Shabbat, and then when they do the Brit Milah, it's going to cut exactly the same moment, not going to fail. By the way, the real answer is that it's based on the Brit Milah is not done on the basis of 24-hour days, right? Because it could be less than 8 days, but 24-hour days, based on the fact that it's the eighth day. This is an important point to make in halacha. This is very, very important to make, because these things will become very confusing as you grow older. I don't know how many people here, obviously, that whoever's married is probably married to Chasmida. I grew up with hope it's going to be Chasmida. But people who have not yet been married have not learned those halachas. And they're made amazingly complicated by the fact that halacha has no zero. This is an important point to remember, because Americans, inherently, any Westerner, when they count, they take into account the number zero as a given. For example, if I asked you to name the eighth day after today, after Monday, you would automatically say Tuesday. Because you would say 1 week is from today, Monday, till next Monday, right? And then the eighth day will be Tuesday. Because you build the zero into your system of counts. Mm-hmm. In fact, in halacha, there is no zero. So therefore, today is day one. And therefore, the eighth day is going to be next Monday. Does everybody, do we understand that? Is that clear? Should I draw it on the board? Does anybody, everybody get that, okay? It's very complicated because Hilchos Nida becomes particularly complicated because Hilchos Nida, you have to figure out the patterns of when your wife is expected to see Nida the following month, and in Halacha, since there's no zero, it's not intuitive as to the way we count, how she determines her cycles. So therefore, you have to be aware of that when you learn Hilchos Nida. But this Bris Mila is also a prime classic example. The eighth day in Bris Mila is not the eighth day as we would consider the eighth day, meaning from a secular modern perspective, but rather it's the eighth day including the day of birth, right? So therefore, in fact, you know, it's not a question of the same time, right? It's a question of coming to, and that, but a question of that day. And moreover, if that, a whole bunch of reasons are no good. And let's say it's Taka nighttime, then the Bris Mila is not valid. Right, you have to make the Bris Mila during the day of the eighth day. So then they can't really do that replication 8 days later precisely. So that's important to remember. There is no, that's why in Halacha, let's say somebody in this room is 35 years old, right? In Halacha, he's actually 36 years old. Why is that? Because when you are 35 years old, you are in your 36th year. The year between your, of course, year between the day of your birth and your first birthday is year one. You're 1 year old during that time, right? That's what the Chumash speaks about many times. Karbanos, which are brought, ben shana achas, within the first year of their life. That means that there is no zero year, but rather that year is the first year, right?
Right.
Yes.
So, like, I'm 19, so but I'm in my 20th year then. So does that mean that I'm like judged by heaven at this point? Or?
Surprise! No, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember. It might say in the Gemara. Sometimes the Gemara wants to say that it's the age of 20 according to our secular day, and says Ben Ashrim Shana V'Yom Echad, 20 years in one day. That's why it says a Bar Mitzvah is Ben Yugimel Shana V'Yom Echad. Now people misunderstand that. People think it means when you're 13 years old plus a day. So what happens is a bar mitzvah kid is a bar mitzvah on Shabbos morning, right? So everybody thinks, uh-oh, or not everybody, but people get nervous. You know, maybe he can't lane that day because he's not Yudgimel Shana V'Yom Echad. But it's inaccuracy. What it means is Yudgimel Shana V'Yom Echad means the Lord is telling you really have to have traversed his entire 13th year and be on the next day, which is, of course, his birthday. On his birthday, he's traversed his entire 13th day and he's on the 13th year and he's on the next day. So I don't remember what the Gemara says about person being nidon, whether it is ben asim shana v'yom echad or ben asim shana. If it says ben asim shana, yes, then it's already since the time you turn 19. If it's ben asim shana v'yom echad, then you still have some time to sin. But in any event, by the way, this causes one other thing. This causes a discrepancy. This problem with the year zero causes a discrepancy with the dating of when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. There's some people who date when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed to the year 70 of the Common Era, and there's some people who date it to the year 68 of the Common Era. The reason why...
What? Two-year difference.
The reason why there's a difference is because there is, you know, the ancient Romans, right, when they were counting down, they didn't count down, okay, this is year 500 before the Common Era, 400 before the Common Era. They weren't counting down that way, right? They didn't know that the Common Era was imminently approaching. They had their own ways of counting, which is foolish of them, but that's the way it was. So now, there was, even when the system came into effect of the Common Era, there was no year zero. There wasn't a year which everybody's like, this is year zero, from now we're beginning, right? As a matter of fact, it all became retrospective, right? 100 years afterwards when they said, oh, Yoshka was born in year that year, let's start to count from that year, right? But that, in fact, was year one. Not year zero. So that was year one. You're losing 2 years, actually. You're losing a year at the end. The year one of the last era is also year one of the next era. So the ones overlap, and there is no zero, and that's what I think makes for the 2 years. Okay, you lose 2 years as a result. Because you lose a zero and one of the ones. And then you have one and the one, which is in common. So therefore, it's amazingly difficult because I am arithmetically challenged. I am not capable of dealing with numbers. But that is a way to extend that understanding, that is actually the way it occurs.
So we're actually in the 5765th year.
No, we assume that our count is correct, but the conversion, which people use, which is the year minus 3760, is only correct for after the Common Era.
But we have
back to before the Common Era, you'd have to change that.
Right, but I'm saying, like, in general, like, we have no year zero, so our years start at one also.
Right.
So, and secular would say we're in 5763, because we're in the 64th year, right? We're in the 5764th year, but we've traversed 5763 years.
But we
lost a year with the marble.
No, that doesn't count. The thing is, what happens is that since Adam was created before the Bria was created, so you count, take them the six little days, which the calendar does. Mm-hmm. So then, creation began 6 days before Rosh Hashanah. So that was year zero. In fact, it's called Nalach Shnas Tohu, the year of Tohu, of desolation. Mm-hmm. Even though the last 6 days are when the world was created. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, I know what the result of what I'm telling you is, but you'll figure it out. Rosh Hashanah, the first Rosh Hashanah, when Adam and Rishon was in Gan Eden, that was Rosh Hashanah 1.
Okay.
Because 0 was the years before that. So I think somehow that makes it work out that 5764 is 5764. Right? Okay. I'm not sure exactly, but I think so.
But what does happen with the marble that it says that Noah lived, that he was 600 before the marble, he lived for 350 years after that, and he died after the marble. He lived for 350, and he died, and he was 950. So there's a year lost.
I don't know how those numbers are not exact, obviously, because time did not cease during the marble.
Right.
The seasons may have ceased because those have to do with, you know, the correlation between the heavens and the earth, which obviously were not working at that time properly. But time continued apace. I mean, there was time which continued to exist. The moon existed somewhere. The sun existed somewhere. Cycle between moon and earth might have been off, between sun and earth might have been off, but since those things existed, so those times did not cease as a result of the marble. Indeed, you see in the Chumash itself, the Chumash says, the marble started on this day, and this month, and it was rain till this day of that month, and then, this day, that month, they came out, so the Chumash itself tells you, don't think time ceased. You see clearly that we keep the calendar going throughout that, so to speak, missing year. Yeah.
The time ceased in the Teva.
What?
But time would have, time had to cease in the Teva then.
How time ceased in the Teva? What makes you say that?
Well, if he was 600 years before, if he was 600 years old.
No, I'm telling you, those 600 and 350 are not precise.
Okay.
I mean, do you think everybody was born on their birthday and died on their birthday? Listen, the Chumash doesn't say that. So therefore, it's not, those are rounded off. I mean, what is that, how exactly worked out? In a 600 year, you know, those are all rounded up. I don't think there's a question.
Hey,
yeah.
I want to go back to my thing with 1920. So, but when people get bar mitzvah, when they're 13, it's not when they're 12 years old in one day, unless you're a girl, right? Because usually for guys,
it's when you're 13 years old in one day.
And one day. So right. The thing with heaven, wouldn't that be 20 and one day?
It could be. I don't remember. I don't remember what the language of the Gemara is there.
I need as much time as I can get.
Okay, I don't remember what the Gemara says on that issue. But could be. I just don't remember. And I know that when it says, the reason why I don't think so is because when it says in the Chumash, Ben Esrim Shana Yetei Latzava, it says that a Jewish male is to go out to the army when he's 20 years old, actually means when a person's 19.
Really?
Yeah, that is a misnomer. People take it, of course, literally, but it actually means 19, because it's when he's 20, he's entered his 20th year. Mm. Yeah.
How about the bar mitzvah year? Because then one say that's really when one's 12.
It's what?
In the bar mitzvah year, when one's 13, then according to that logic, could one say that begins to apply when one is 12 years old then?
No. During your 12th, year, during the year between your 12th birthday and your 13th birthday, you are within your 13th year of life.
But you're not
permissive. So therefore, language of the Gemara is Ben Shloshes Rei Shona B'Yom Echad, meaning you've completed your 13th year and you've gone on the next year. Okay? So again, as I said before, the number zero is a convention which does not exist in Halacha. I'm not sure exactly when zero entered the common usage. Who made up the zero? I think the Arabs made up the number zero. So beforehand, it didn't exist as a concept and wasn't used in and is not used in halacha.
Roman numerals don't have a zero.
Yeah, they don't have. They didn't, I'm sure they didn't have a zero.
I mean, right? they have the number 10, but they don't have a zero.
Right. Because zero is not a number. It makes, if you think about it, it's irrational to consider zero a number. Because a number means you have something, right? When you have nothing, it's the absence of numbers. So give that a term, give it an actual number, and say, this is the number zero, is just a convenience, which obviously is not rational once you think about it. Okay? So, moving right along here. So we have here, anyway, that Avogadrotech wanted to make that point about Bris Milah, that what we call the eighth day in Bris Milah is actually what a secular person would call the seventh day. So again, we're up to, the Gemara is saying here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines to the top. They do ben hashmashos. What's the city of ben hashmashos? Misha tishka hachama, once the sun sets, kozman shepnei mizrach madimin, as long as the eastern sky is red. Now it's important to note how the sun traverses the earth from the perspective of the observer. It's not material for us whether the sun goes around the earth or earth goes around the sun. It doesn't matter at all for this purpose. Okay, let's say this is the earth, right? This is our hemisphere. Here is our person standing in Muncie. So he sees the sun rise in the east, right? That's why the east is called Mizrach. The word Mizrach comes from the word Zricha. The word Zricha means when the sun begins to shine, right? So the sun rises and goes across the sky, goes overhead, and then sets in the west, right? And the west is called Ma'arav. That's the language of Erev, which means evening, right? So when the sun sets in the Ma'arav, it is evening. Now, the Gemara says, as long as the eastern sky is red, that's considered to be daytime, right? If this is red over here, daytime. Because obviously it's red because it's reflecting the light of the sun, right? Now the sun might theoretically, we don't know at this point, but be somewhat down, right? But since the sun is out here, let's say this is your line of sight, right? But the sun, the horizon. The sun might be beneath the horizon, but because of the angle, that's not a good angle, but you get the idea, it shouldn't go through the earth. But because of the angle, it may well be that up here it's still reddish because the sun is still casting its rays above the earth, even though you can no longer see it. So Gemara is not saying necessarily here, that, on the contrary, sorry, the Gemara says explicitly, Misha Tishka Chama, even though the sun has set, Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Madinim, as long as the west, the eastern sky is red, Hichsif HaTachton, or Hichsif HaElyon, so it sounds like as long as it's red, it's still daytime. Let's say down here, tachton, we don't know what tachton means, by the way. Tachton means the lower part. But the question when you're dealing with the sky, what does the lower part mean? So somewhere over here is the lower part of the sky. Once this is dark, we don't know how much is tachton. From here to here, from here to here. But somewhere over here, once this is dark, the tachton part, the lower part, even though over here it's still light, that's Ben Hashmashos. And it's an important point to make, because the sky does not become dark uniformly. So it doesn't happen when the sun sets. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not used to looking up in the sky. Most of the city slickers really don't look up in the sky anytime during their lives unless we have to. Right? So therefore, we actually have no clue what's happening in the heavens at any given time. Certainly, we don't know what stars we're seeing, if we're seeing, if we notice the stars at all, and we don't really understand the way astronomical processes work because we don't pay attention to them. So this may come as a shock to you. But actually, it gets darker on the eastern horizon earlier than it gets dark on the western horizon. That's because even though the sun has set, nevertheless, the sun is still illuminating, because although it's beneath the horizon, as we said, the rays are coming up. So therefore, the western sky gets darker much later than the eastern sky. Does that make sense? Even though you might never have noticed that. It makes sense, right? Okay. So that conversely, in the morning, the eastern sky gets life well before the Western sky becomes light, because the sun is rising. And that's the concept of dawn. What's dawn? Dawn is when the first light occurs on the eastern sky as a result of the sun, which is going to rise, but it's well before you can actually see the sun. It may well be well over an hour, perhaps even 2 hours, before you can actually see the sun, because the sun is just starting to rise, but already its rays are visible in the sky above. Okay? So those are all things that you're going to have to deal with in terms of what's considered to be day, what's considered to be night. So in the meantime, the Gemara says, as long as the eastern sky is red, it seems like it's daytime. Hichsev ha-tachton, if below it's dark, but on top it's not dark, that's considered to be twilight. Hichsev ha-elyon, v'shul ha-tachton, if the upper part of the sky is dark, and it's like the lower part of the sky, and again, we don't know where's dark, where's up, where's down. Is this down and this up? Is this all down and this is up? We don't know. What does it tell us? Mordechai just says, whenever, when the upper part of the sky has become equivalent to the lower part of the sky, that's considered to be definitely lila, right? Zedive Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Nechemi Omer.
Did you say definitely night or light?
Definitely night. That's what Mordechai says. When the upper part of the sky is equivalent to the lower part of the sky, that's definitely night. Again, where we can know what upper and lower was would be very helpful. But if we don't. So this is a very cryptic Gemara from our perspective. So Gemara says, that's Rabbi Yehuda's perspective. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda gives an astronomical perspective. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Kedei Shihalit Odom, Bishatishka Acham Achatzim Yom. A new concept. He actually measures it with distance traversed. The amount of time it takes to walk a half a meal after sunset. Now,
half a what?
Half a meal.
What's
a meal? I was about to say. A meal in Halacha is 2,000 amos.
Walk off half a meal.
Okay, so that's an interesting concept. I'm not going to think of that one. So a meal is 2,000 amos. Generally speaking, there's a big one of places in Halacha how long an amo is. Is an amo 1.5 feet or is an amo 2 feet? So depending on which one you want to see, a half of a meal, which is 1,000 amos, is either 1,500 or 2,000 feet. Now, there are many different shurim which are given for how long it takes to walk a meal. Because, you know, everybody walks a meal differently, depending on how short you are, how tall you are, you know.
5 minutes,
whether it's uphill, whether it's uphill, downhill, flat, whether it's, whether you're in good shape or bad shape, right? So many different, right, so many different both terrain also support, so many different shurim exist in how to measure a meal. We will talk about that. Not right now. Well, I'm not going to give different reasons now, but I'll tell you the different shiurim. There's one shiur which is given, which is 18 minutes. Another which is 22.5 minutes. Another which is 24 minutes. So therefore, half a meal would be 9 minutes, 11 and a quarter minutes, or 12 minutes. So he's saying that twilight, Rabbi Yechem is saying twilight lasts for either 9 minutes, 11 and a quarter minutes, or 12 minutes after sunset. This is a very difficult thing. Very, very difficult. Because, again, as I told you, I'm arithmetically challenged, and I'm also scientifically challenged. I'm a humanities person. I'm strictly like history, nothing else. But in trying to understand this concept, let me explain to you, as much as to the best of my understanding, that it really makes no sense to give an absolute time, that it's always 9 minutes. Or 12 minutes, and so on and so forth. Because the distance, the trajectory of the sun across the heavens is different in different places and at different times of year. For example, right now, the trajectory of the sun across the heavens is very short. It's very northerly and very short. It takes a very short time for the sun to traverse the heavens. Only 9 hours or so of daylight are during the winter. So therefore, the sun is going relatively quickly, right? In the summer, on the contrary, the sun is traveling much slower. It goes at a much more leisurely pace. And therefore, a day can be 15 hours long, right? Now, this has the sun and the moon, the earth don't speed up, slow down during the summer and the winter. But the orbit of the earth around the sun is such that the angle with which we face the sun changes, and based on that, our perception of how fast the sun travels above and beneath the horizon differs depending on the time of year. Moreover, therefore, the question that the sun will therefore, after it rises, after it sets, or before it rises, at different times of year, start giving or stop giving light at different times. Again, based on the angle of the sun vis-a-vis the earth, and vis-a-vis, of course, the hemisphere you're in at that time. Moreover, the more southerly you get towards the equator, from our northern perspective, the more perfect the day becomes. Meaning, at the equator, days are always 60 minutes, and they're always 60-minute hours, and always 12 hours of sunlight, and always 12 hours of darkness, more or less. But it's a difference by a minute or so, but very little difference. As you go to the poles, of course, they're widely swinging differences. For example, we know as you get towards the North Pole, you get towards area where the sun, over from your perspective, never sets in the summer, right? Just goes around overhead. You know, it goes around in the sky, round and round she goes. So you have to get a little bit further south in order for the sun actually to at some point to begin going behind the earth and coming back the other side. Now even there, of course, it's not in the summer going to get fully dark, right? Because even when the sun is behind the earth, so to speak, its rays are popping out all over the place because there's very little earth to hide it, right? At that point in the southern hemisphere, of course, the exact opposite is happening. On the very south pole, nobody can see the sun. So to speak, from their perspective, it's way up north, right? And above that, they only see the sun for a very small amount, portion of the day, and so on and so forth. So things vary widely depending on where you are. So many of the poskim say that these minutes are only true on an equinox day for the latitude of Eretz Yisrael. Now, equinox day is a day when, like the equator, sun and day and night are equal. When's the equinox? Twice a year.
It's March and September 20th, 21st.
March 21st and September 21st are equinox days. So the days in which the sun, the day and the night are equal, are symmetrical. Yeah. Can I just have your pen up?
Yeah, my pen on a question.
Okay. On behalf of your pen, you may ask.
Thank you. Yep. So I'm sure you're going to get to this, but I mean, regardless of the equinox days and the minutes that we're trying to figure out here, I mean, if you live in Alaska, you still have to know specifically when you can dab Marv.
Who says Jews can live in Alaska?
Bingo.
That's my brother-in-law's representative. What's a Jew doing in Alaska?
We'll have to deal with it. We'll talk about this.
Shabbos can be a problem also, right?
Of course.
In Hawaii, they have like 2 days Shabbos.
No, but that's a different reason. That's Easter after the deadline. We'll get that much later. We will do the international deadline, but for another month from now. So that's in Hawaii is a different issue. That's the international deadline issue. So anyway, therefore if we assume that this is an equinox day, and these 9 minutes were given in Eretz Yisrael on equinox day, then we're going to have to adjust these 9 minutes for a place and time of year. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have to adjust it for time of year, and we're going to have to adjust it for latitude, where a person finds himself and how the sun traverses the earth at that latitude. Now, the question is how you would adjust. How do you adjust? What are you adjusting for? How do you make the calculation? So the simplest way to make the calculation is to examine at, let's say, on equinox day, nine or 11.5 or 24 minutes after the sunset, how many degrees the sun is beneath the horizon. Right? The sky is 180 degrees on top, so to speak, and 180 degrees below, 360 degrees altogether. So the question is, how many degrees beneath the horizon is the sun at this point, and how many degrees beneath the horizon is the sun at that point? Okay? That's the question which we're dealing with. Now, the 12 minutes mark, at 12 minutes beneath the sun, let's deal with the 12 minutes for now, at 12 minutes beneath The 12 minutes past sunset. On equinox day in the land of Israel, the sun is 4.81 degrees beneath our rising. Okay, so we would have to actually go from place to place and figure that out. However, as we shall see, 4.81 degrees is in and of itself not necessarily sufficient to determine, you know, that this is nighttime. Why? Because the sun itself takes some minutes to set. I think it takes about 4 minutes for the sun to set. So the question is, do you measure that time from the beginning of sunset, those 12 minutes, or from the end of sunset? If you measure from the end of sunset, then that tacks on 4 more minutes, approximately, and therefore, at the end of those 4 minutes, the sun is 5.95 degrees beneath the horizon. Okay? This is a very important number to remember. 5.95 degrees beneath the horizon.
What
is that? What? You don't get it? This angle. See, the sun is, the sun goes this way, right? So the sun, this is sunset, right? When sunset, the sun begins going down here, beneath the horizon, your visible viewpoint, right? This is actually not good because it's not, and I did it wrong for this purpose. And the guy standing here, the sun sets when he gets over there. Is that clear?
When what gets over there?
When he gets over here.
When the sun gets
over there.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I was right for sun. The sun sets when it goes over here, right? So it sets over here, it begins to set, and then it takes about 4 minutes for it to set.
I bet that takes 90 seconds.
What?
Right, so
when it takes 90 seconds. 4 minutes. I know you read that. 4 minutes, I'm pretty sure about that. You'll have to verify that for me. But, and you can see that from the numbers, because if they're, every degree is about 4 minutes. Because if you make a cheshbon, the 360 degrees in 24 hours, so 24 hours divided by 360 comes out to 4 minutes per degree. Okay, trust me on that, but that's the way it is, 4 minutes per degree. So therefore, after the 12 minutes have elapsed, right, assuming you start from here, the sun will be down here, this angle is 4.81 degrees, right? If you measure from the time the sun goes, is completely beneath the horizon 12 minutes, then that angle will be a little bit more, not as acute, it will be obtuse, it will be 5.95 degrees. You remember any high school geometry? Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Mm-hmm.
I failed geometry one semester in high school, so... Okay.
Remember
geometry. What? So the, I didn't do too well in Regents either. But,
What's that called when it gets to 4.8 again? About...
Well, that's when the Chemist shear. The Chemist says when you walk 12 minutes, according to the opinion that a meal is 24 minutes, when you walk 12 minutes after sunset, that is considered to be nightfall.
Nice.
So 12 minutes, depending on whether you begin the 12 minutes from when the sun starts setting, or from the sun ends setting, it's either 4.81 degrees beneath the horizon, or 5.95 degrees beneath the horizon. Okay, depending on whether you add that extra minute or not. Okay, so according to Rabbi Chemia, that's the shear. Is that clear? Actually, I'm making a mistake. because the shear, 1 second, if it's 3, the shearim I gave you right now are for opinion later on. Opinion later on, this opinion, not the opinion of half a meal, but 3/4 of a meal. So I made a mistake. I apologize. The numbers I memorized, I memorized correctly, but not for this opinion. They don't follow the Chemist's opinion that it's a half a meal, but they follow the opinion of, I forget who comes out later on in the Tanna, who says it's 3/4 of a meal. So 3/4 of a meal, in fact, would be 18 minutes, right? 24, 3/4 of 18, 3/4 of 24 minutes is 18 minutes, so this is the shear for the sun, how far the sun is beneath the horizon at the end of 18 minutes, again, assuming that you begin here it's 4.81, so when you begin here, it's 5.95.
So this is the time 18 minutes after Shkia.
Yeah, this is where the sun would be 18 minutes after Shkia.
But don't some people hold like 72 minutes and all the
other things? Oh, of course, we're going to get there.
But that's
explain how 18 minutes became 72, absolutely.
That's very important question. Like multiplying by 4?
What?
I don't know.
It seems that and lots of things are multiples of 18. Yeah. We'll cook same activity. Okay, all this will become clear at some point in the future. Not today. Sam was trying to confuse you. Yes, that's the idea. Everybody walk out of here completely confused. If you walk out of here completely confused, then I will have succeeded in my goal for today. So now, let's just do a couple more lines of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Hashmoshos Keherefayim. It's like the blink of an eye. Zeh Nichnas V'zeh Yossi. In other words, whenever Ben Hashmoshos takes place, it's like a blink. Now, this being halacha, we have a shear for a blink of an eye too. So I think a blink of an eye is the amount of time it takes to release the blink. The amount of time, which is called the blink of an eye, is the amount of time which it takes to walk 50 amos. They blink slowly in those days.
What?
So therefore the amount of time, this is what the Vikings say, the amount of time which is the blink of an eye, is the amount of time it takes either to walk 75 feet or 100 feet. Don't ask me. That's what halacha says. That's the amount of time it takes to blink an eye.
They had very moist eyes. They didn't
I guess. It took a long time. They didn't wear contact lenses. I know exactly what happened. It took a long time to blink an eye. What?
15 minutes?
No.
50 amos.
50 amos. The amount of time it takes to walk 50 amos. What? Maybe they walk very fast. And then, we can't exactly perceive when it is, this is the when it occurs, because it's so quick, and we don't know exactly when it occurs, in the amount of time before the sun, after the sun sets, and the time is completely dark. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll see more shittos. If you want to keep those and bring them back tomorrow, you want to give them back to me, it's up to you.
It's still got to be a short time.